Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today.
Hey, Faith Church family, how are you? Ooh, I hope you brought your seatbelt today because the Holy Ghost got a hold of the last two services. And so I just think we need to stand in expectation. They're like, we need a television program. I'm like, well, TV can take care of itself. What we need is the Holy Ghost to do what the Holy Ghost wants to do. Ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party, and a Holy Ghost party don't stop. So can we just go with the plan and see what he's got? Ooh, and that's what I love about being a faith church. You know, we were in Australia and doing ministry and conference and worshiping, and it was great. But I just want to tell you, friends, there is no place like home. No place like home. No place like my faith church family. And they're open to the Spirit of God and willing to move and groove and do what God wants to do. Oh, man. I tell you one place I haven't met the Holy Ghost, and that was Las Vegas. That is where our message starts today. I tell you, I went to Las Vegas with my mom, and we just went for some pools, and we had gotten a cheap hotel deal, and we were going to do a spa treatment and see a show or two. And I went, and I thought, my husband would love all this architecture and these creative ideas. He's got to come back here. And I said, husband, you got to go to Vegas with me. He said, I can't go to Vegas. I'm a pastor. And I said, when did this happen? And I said, baby, you know what happens in Vegas? Gets told by your wife on the stage. And so he went with me, and we had a great time. And we bought tickets to this show, and I was so excited because they still had front row available last minute at the discount place. And I thought, I would have always wanted to sit front row at the Blue Man Group. So when we get to the Blue Man Group, what happens is, as we're coming in, they hand us these ponchos. And at first I was like, what are these for? And why doesn't everybody have one of these? And then I quickly figured out the reason that they gave me a poncho on the front row is because they were going to spray stuff on me. Sorry, making y'all bend over. Consider that one of your squats for today. You're like, and done. I did squats today. And I did a sit-up, too. I got out of bed. Well, they gave us the front row, and we were ready to be splashed. I just gave y'all those ponchos, and I want to let you know, it's because you're going to get splashed. If you would like to vacate the front row now, my feelings will not be hurt. Second row, you don't get a poncho. You know why? Because you got to pray. And everybody in the third row and around, y'all are just blessed. You are in the safety zone. You obviously prayed today. God led where you were going to sit. And y'all safe. Well, what do we need these ponchos for anyway? Well, let's go to Matthew 15, verse 11. Matthew 15, verse 11, it says, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man. It's what comes out of the mouth that defiles a man. The title of today's message is, There Are Power in Your Words. I don't even think that's good English. Let's change the title. There is power in your words. Look at your neighbor right now and say, there's power in what I have to say. Now listen to me. And do those dishes when you get home. In Jesus' name. You see, there's power in what comes out of our mouth. And I don't think we realize all the time exactly what we're dealing with. You know, when I was in Vegas, I saw that they had all these spa treatments, and it inspired me because they wanted $195 to take a bath in some essential oil water with some rose petals. I'm like, for $195, I'll buy my own essential oils, and I'll go to 7-Eleven, I'll get me a rose. So, and I've always thought that Pastor David should, put rose petals on my bed and in my bath and maybe go before me, and they should just walk all over the floor. And I got some essential oils, and this one's called Hope. How many people want some hope in their life? It smells delicious. And this one says Stress Away. How many wish their stress would go away? Amen? Ooh, yes, Jesus. We want some stress away. Who likes essential oils? Come on up. One person who likes essential oils. First one who stands up can come up here for a second. Okay, you stood up first. Come on up here for a second. This one is called Joy. How many of you want more joy in your life? Say amen. Amen. And you don't have to come all the way up here. You can just stand right there. I just want you to smell this for us. Come on over here and smell this. And just tell. She doesn't have a poncho. She's safe. Tell. How does it smell?
It smells amazing.
It smells amazing. It really does. Anybody else want to smell this? Come on over. Hurry up. Come on, come on. Oh, both of y'all can come. All three of you. Come on. Smell this. This is some good stuff. Check this out. Oh, she's bringing some more. Forgiveness. Praise God. Oh, I can keep it. She obviously thinks I need forgiveness. What are you trying to tell me, Jesus? But they all went away. This stuff smells delicious, doesn't it? I mean, it smells good enough they'd want to charge you $1 million to take a bath in this in Vegas. Everybody say sweet water. Sweet water. This is some good sweet water. But there's other kinds of water. And actually, what are we talking about? Sweet water, what are we talking about? Well, let's go to James 3, verse 10. It'll tell us what we're talking about right now. It says, out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. Then it says, brethren, these things should not be so. Does a spring send forth both sweet water and bitter water? Well, whenever the Bible asks us a question, friend, it's not because God doesn't know the answer. God knows the answer to everything, amen?
Amen.
So who do you think he's wanting to know the answer? Us. He's wanting us to know the answer. So I immediately start Googling it. I'm like, can a spring be salty and fresh? The answer was no. Can hot water and cold water come out of the same spring? Because there's hot springs and cold springs. And the answer was no. Can polluted water and fresh water come out of the same spring? And the answer was no. Now, you've got pools that have fresh and salt water, and you've got pools that have polluted and fresh water, and you've got pools that have hot water and cold water. But the pool, just because it's all in one spot, that's not attractive, is it? Just because it's all in one place, it doesn't mean that it comes from the same source. So if we talked about the sweet water, let's talk about the bitter water. I know it's not happened at Faith Church, but I have heard tell that at other churches, Christians cuss. They use dirty language when somebody makes them just that mad or cuts them off in traffic or a hammer hits their finger. There is some foul dirt that comes out of their mouth. If that has ever happened to you, just go ahead and fess up and say amen.
Amen.
Yeah. And so there's a couple super sister Christians that's just like, well, that has never happened to me. And 42 years ago, I met Jesus, and I just want to let you know I am squeaky clean like soap, and none of that mess has come out of my mouth. And I want to let you know, anybody who said yes to that, who is a director in our church, I don't know if they should be in our church anymore, especially not leading. And I don't even know if I can follow a pastor who's been to Vegas. Well, how many of you know that might be squeaky clean, but nobody wants soap in their mouth? I don't think God wants that soap in there either. And then there's stuff that's straight poison. You know, my daughter, I guess there's this expression that went around, and when something's really funny, you're just like, oh my gosh, I'm dead. And I heard her say that, and I said, never say that word again. But I mean, I can't judge her because I've said, you're driving me crazy. Anybody ever said that? Right. Or, I'm going to kill you. Do you really want them dead? I mean, maybe at the moment, but not really. How many of you know there is a difference between this bitter water and that sweet water? I'm not going to ask anybody to come up and smell or touch or get within 10 feet of that. But somehow, we managed to say and spray these different kinds of water over our life. I gave y'all a poncho. And sometimes it's sweet, which ain't so bad. But sometimes it's a bitter mess. It's so bitter in there, I can't even suck it up. It's so dirty. Oh, yeah, baby, that's some grossness. You know it's an engaging message when even the kids are saying, oh, no. Bitter water and sweet water. I just hope I don't get the two messed up as we're talking today. I just have one question for you. If we've got these two guns in our mouth at the same time, and they're both spouting off at the same time, how is it that God is supposed to know whether or not he can turn up the power in our mouth? You see, how many of you want to pray prayers of healing for the sick and you see people healed? Say amen. Amen. How many of you want to pray over the brokenhearted and you see heart healed and them being restored? Say amen. Amen. How many people want to pray for the broken, the poor, and watch finances come into them and revitalize them? Say amen. Amen. How many of you want to pray over your future and see what God has for you come into your future? Say amen.
Amen.
Woo! Sweet water. You can feel when the sweet words come out. You can feel it, can't you? We can feel it. But somehow, the bitter words tend to sneak out. They tend to get out on us. You see, I don't know why buying dog food should be such a big deal, but in our house, buying dog food is a thing. Because we've got the healthy dog food we want the dogs to eat in the green and white bag, but they won't eat that by itself, so I have to buy this other food that they do like. Except for in the food they do like, there's these meaty-looking chunks that they eat and they root around for, and they'll root around for the meaty chunks and they'll eat the healthy food while they're doing that. But there's these little dark triangles in the bag with the meaty food, and they will not eat these little dark chunks. They'll root around and eat everything else, and they'll leave it there so long, I have to throw it out. Now, let's think about it, dogs. Dogs eat their own vomit. So how bad does this food have to taste that they won't even put it in their mouth? Should I put this in my mouth?
No.
Can I put it in your mouth?
No.
Can I spray it on y'all? It's funny how it can be so clear and make such sense right now. But as soon as we're aggravated with somebody, as soon as they get on your nerves, as soon as they start talking some fool trash at work, we say, what is that fool idiot doing? And if God turned up the power in our mouth, their IQ would go to zero and they wouldn't be able to function anymore. I wonder, do we really want God to turn up the power in our mouth? The problem is we deal in the real. Oh, girl, I'm just telling the truth. Oh, man, I'm just giving the facts right now. I get all this name it and claim it stuff, but sometimes you just have to call it what it is. Who's your source? Would Jesus call it what it is, or would Jesus speak life into it? You see, we're speaking death and destruction and disharmony and disquiet and doubt, and we're dealing with real. Instead of doing what Jesus would do, we pollute the very fountain of power that God has given us to architect our future, shore up our present, and even rectify the past. The enemy wants to pollute our mouth because he knows our mouth is our power. God's word in our mouth is just as powerful as God's word in his mouth, because it doesn't matter who speak it, it's God's word. Come on, somebody, give God a real praise. But we get stuck in this bitter water. What is bitter water? So let's go to Exodus 15. Exodus 15, verses 22 through 26. Moses is leading the Israelites through what's called the wilderness, except for the wilderness isn't some trees and forests and a creek. The wilderness is an arid, dry desert where they are. And so they're going through this dry desert for 3 days. And they got nothing to drink for 3 days. Here we are in the line at Starbucks, aggravated when they don't get us our cappuccino in 10 minutes, right? And they don't get anything to drink for 3 days. Well, when they finally get to a place, it says when they came to the oasis of Marah, the water was too bitter to drink. So they named the place Marah, which means bitter. I wonder if somebody had to name your conversation or name the way you talked, if they would name it Marah. Sometimes I don't want the answer to that question. Can I just be real? Anybody ever had a Monday? All right. So, verse 24, the people complained, turned against Moses. What are we going to drink? What are we going to do? The bitter water is that bad. Well, until we really know what is bitter water, what is the problem with bitter water, what does bitter water do? So I looked it up, and here's a couple of quick references. If you go to Numbers 5, verses 18. It's talking about a ritual that they do, and it says that the priest should have the woman stand before the Lord and have her hair loosed, and the place of the grain offering placed in her hands, which is the grain offering of jealousy, and that in the hand of the priest is to be the water of bitterness, which brings a curse. The water of bitterness brings a
curse.
So, if we're spewing bitterness out of our mouth, really, we're spewing a curse. I wonder if anybody asked you on the way into church today, when's the last time you cursed somebody? We might say never. However, if we've been talking about how ignorant they are, how rude they are, how dumb they are, what a jerk they are, or even worse, nobody likes me. I can't get any breaks. My future, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just not made for anything. Are we spewing bitter water all over other people or all over our own future and then going back and refueling with more? So when Ashton was like 4 years old, because this wasn't last year. So when Ashley was like 4 years old, we were swimming in the swimming pool because we used to have a pool in our backyard. And when we were swimming, she thought it was fun to put the water in her mouth and like squirt it out between her teeth. Oh, sure, now y'all put the ponchos on. They're like, I knew we were doing baptisms at church, but I didn't know it meant during the service. So I finally got tired of it. I was like, Ashton, quit. Ashton, quit. Ashton, quit. Does it right in my face, and it gets on my face. I finally had to remind her. I said, baby, I just want to let you know that my booty is in the same water that's in your mouth. Why would you share that nasty story? Because I just want us to realize how nasty that water is that's in our mouth. It brings a curse. And then in Revelations 8, verses 11, it says, the name of the star is called Wormwood, and a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the waters because they were bitter. Bitter water brings a curse, and bitter water brings death. So there's these two girls, and they worked in Manhattan. They were receptionists, and their friend Sarah got engaged the night before. And they heard about it at work, and they couldn't wait all day to talk about it. And so they got on the subway, and they're like, oh, my gosh, I cannot believe Sarah got engaged. Oh, the girl cannot cook to save her life. She is the sloppiest person that we know, and she is so hormonal month to month. We can't stand her. She can't even stand herself. I don't know how she is going to live with any man. I give that marriage 1 year tops because they're going to be in divorce court by the time they get back from the honeymoon. Talking, just spraying bitter water all over Sarah, who they work with and they're supposedly friends with. And as they're spraying all that, though, the woman behind them, sitting behind them on the subway said, excuse me, girls, I am so glad that I sat by you today. You see, my son got engaged to Sarah last night. Oh, y'all saying whoa like you ain't never trashed somebody on your way to work. All right? And she said, you know what? We didn't know this about Sarah, and we're so glad you brought some light to it. So I just want to let you know, when I get home tonight, I'm going to call my son, and I'm going to let him know to break off the engagement, and they will not be getting married. All of a sudden, the girls backpedal, and they're like, hey, wait. Sarah is very loyal. She will never cheat on him. She will stand by his side. She wants to have children. She wants to be a mother. She'll be an excellent mother. And she said, no, I heard what she really thought. Thank you for your insight. And then all of a sudden, the subway stops. She said, oh, this is my stop. And she goes to get off the subway. She stops right before she gets off, and she says, oh, hey, girls, one more thing. I don't have a son. But I'm sure if Sarah heard how you were talking about her, it would really hurt her feelings and really spray some kill on your relationship. You see, she was trying to help them out. They were spewing bitter water, and they didn't even know how bad the bitter water was. How many people want some good water in their life? Say amen.
Amen.
If you want some sweet water in your life, say amen.
Amen.
There's a little boy, his name was Johnny. And Johnny always had trouble going to bed, so Dad took Johnny upstairs to bed, finally got him into bed after half an hour, headed downstairs. 5 minutes later, Johnny says, Dad, can I have a drink of water? Dad says, no, Johnny, I'm telling you what, I don't want to hear from you, go to bed. 5 minutes later, Johnny says, Dad, can I please have a drink of water? He said, son, I told you go to bed. If I come upstairs, I'm going to spank you. Now quit, go to bed. About 30 seconds later, Johnny says, hey, Dad, when you come upstairs to spank me, would you bring me a glass of water? How many of you know he wanted water bad? Sometimes we need sweet water so bad that we're willing to just give up the bitter water that we want to give out. Oh, no, you don't understand. If I don't tell it, then it won't get told. You don't understand. If I don't tell it, we won't be able to deal with it. You don't understand. If this isn't said, then nobody will know. God wants to know if you trust him enough to deal in just sweet water. Because there's power in positive words. So how do we turn bitter water sweet? Because we all already admitted there's been enough bitter water released in our life. How do we turn sweet the bitter waters? How do we rectify the past? Well, we shore up our present. If we go back to Exodus 15, verse 25, where we were, the first thing Moses did, it says he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. So he took the tree, and he threw it in the waters, and the waters became sweet. So that makes sense in their situation, but how do we put a tree in the water of our words? And I'm not just implying that you take a hatchet out of the back of your trunk, go chop down a tree on the parking lot of the car and shove it in your mouth, or in the church, and shove it in your mouth. How many of you know that's not going to work? So we have to go to the whole canon of scriptures. So if we look at Proverbs 15, verse 4, in Proverbs 15, verse 4, it says, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness breaks the spirit. A gentle tongue is a tree of life. What you do is you take a tree, a gentle tongue, and you put it in the bitter waters, and it makes the bitter waters sweet. So what we do is we look at all the places that we've been squirting the bitter water, and now we start squirting sweet water in that same place. Sweet water, gentle tongue, God's words, God's promises. We start by crying out to God. We start by repenting over what we did say that we know now that we shouldn't have said. If our mouth is a tool, do we want it used by the enemy or do we want it used by God? Amen. Because there is much power in your positive words as there are in the negative things you've been speaking. I remember one time we were in Tulsa, and this is back when me and Pastor Dave were dating. We weren't married yet. We were, hence the word dating. And we were with his mom and dad, and I stayed with his mom. He stayed with his dad in this hotel. We were together morning, noon, and night. We got to see each other all day. We were loving it. We were having so much fun because we were doing like, you hang up. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. Hanging out in the lobby till the last minute. We had to go to bed. So we didn't want to go home. So we were in the Tulsa airport waiting for Southwest Airlines. And we were just standing there at the gate, and we said to each other, oh, we want to go anywhere but home. And his dad said, really? Is that what you want? His dad knew the power of words. Right about that time, they come on the overhead. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being on flight 2831 to St. Louis out of Tulsa. We just want to let you know today that we have overbooked the flight. We need two people to volunteer to take a $300 voucher for a future flight, and we will reroute you back to St. Louis through Kansas City, and you'll be there just approximately 8 hours later. If you would like to take advantage of this benefit, She went off because we were already at the front desk taking those seats. We get to spend 8 hours together. And we got on this flight to Kansas City, and we sat, and it was back in the day when Southwest seats faced each other in the back of the plane, and he had his feet up on my seat, and I had my feet up on his seat, and we were just flirting and looking at each other, just happy as two clams. We had a layover in Kansas City, ate some barbecue. We were in St. Louis at midnight, and his daddy picked us up. And he said, "So how was your trip?" We said, "It was great." He said, "How was Kansas City?" I'm like, "Oh, it was nice. We had barbecue, but we were together." He said, "Isn't it funny how you just said that and you got it?" It's like, "Yeah, God is so good." He said, "Yeah, but don't you wish you'd said Aruba?" You see, the sweet water, you want to make sure it's sweet enough. Don't be worried about adding a little sweetness to it. Don't be worried that God can't keep up with your prayer. Don't be worried that God can't give you more joy. Don't be worried that God can't give you more hope. Don't be worried that God can't take away all the stress. Don't be worried that God can't give you all the forgiveness, even when you think you can't forgive. Just go ahead and challenge God. See if God is not bigger than you think he is. See if God can't do more than you think he can. See if God can't just take you at your word and best it and go one more over that. How many of you believe that God is just bigger, better, more able, more willing, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Lion of the Tribe of Judah, Healer, Provider? Come on, somebody. God is so good. Are you trying to get me in trouble? He's like, "It's a 12:30. We can have some church. Except for we got baptisms to do, sir." Speaking of baptisms, I can't think of any other kind of water that I'd want to get myself into than baptismal water. Let me tell you right now, if you needed to spray some sweet water on your life and your life has been messed up, there's nothing that smells any sweeter than watching the old man go down into the water, watching him pass away, watching the new man come up, filled with the Spirit of God, taking Jesus at his command to be baptized. And I'll tell you what else, obedience is the blessing exchange. Do you want some blessing in your life? And this is a free story. You guys got 60 seconds for a free story? I have been baptized in my life. I was Catholic. So I got baptized when I was real young, right? I didn't make the decision. I didn't know about it. I was just born into it. But then when I got older, it never really occurred to me to get baptized on my own recognizance. So I had been dating this guy, and I finally decided, hey, you know, or no, I hadn't. I was single, and I had finally decided to get baptized, and I got baptized and rededicated my life to the Lord at a deeper level. Even though I'd been going to church, even though I'd been studying the Word, I got rebaptized, and just a few weeks later, this real cute blonde dude asked me out. His name was David. I just wonder if I had gotten baptized a little earlier. Obedience is the blessing exchange. So you might be thinking today that it's too late for you to be baptized because you didn't sign up, you didn't check the box, and No. I want to let you know, we got you a t-shirt, a towel, and a pastor with your name on it. It is waiting for you right outside. And if today is the day that you want to rededicate your life to the Lord and be baptized, don't let anything get in your way. You just walk out there and look for anybody who looks like they know what they're talking about at all and just say, "I want to be baptized today," and we will make it happen for you. Amen? Woo, tambourines on that one. I like it. So sweet water, everybody say sweet water.
Sweet water.
You know, we ended up in Kansas City. We could have ended up in Aruba. There was some sweet water that had been released from our mouths. Pastor David said from the time we were on our honeymoon, I can remember him saying it. It was back in 2007, and we were vacationing in Destin, Florida. I remember him saying it. He would say, "We're going to spend years of our life on white sandy beaches." You know, it was 2007, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. And in 2013, God calls us to open a campus in a city we'd never been to, in Florida. And he provides 1 year of free television time and 2 years of free television time and 3 years of free television time. And he provides a free office. And then he provided a whole free church on a whole free campus. And how many of you know God takes these little morsels? Come on, somebody. These little morsels and these little words you don't think mean anything. I'm going to spend years of my life on white sandy beaches. He said, you think you're just going to be on a beach? I'm going to have you plant a whole nother campus. You just gave me a morsel, but I'm going to turn it into a mountain of blessing. You think you're just going on vacation, but I'm going to turn it into a lifestyle. You think it's just all about you, but I'm going to bless so many other people out of it. I'm telling you right now, the sweet words that come out of your mouth aren't just about you. God wants to use them to bless tens of other people, hundreds of other people, thousands of other people. Somebody in this house, act like they serve a God of praise, a God of goodness, a God of favor, a God of mercy, a God of redemption, a God of power, a God of life, a God of healing, a God of, come on, somebody. Is your God good today? He's so good. He's so good. So as we close for today, you know, I told you a story that was true about two girls being in Manhattan, but I want to tell you a story about two frogs, and pretty sure it's made up because the frogs are talking. And so there's these two frogs, and they're hopping through the forest, and they happen to hop off into a pit. And as they hop off into the pit, they find out that they can't get out. And they're trying to jump, and they're trying to jump, and they're in there for so long, other frogs start to notice, and a crowd's gathered around. They're around the pit, they're watching them jump, and they're trying their hardest, and they're getting exhausted, and they sprain their ankle, but they're trying to jump, and they throw their hip out, but they're trying to jump, and they herniate a disc in their back, and they're trying to jump. So the guys at the top are yelling down, just quit. Just give up. Just lay down on your back and die. You see, friends, this is why you have to have the right they around you. Because some people will tell you to give up and speak some bitter water over your life. They'll start prophesying for you, and they'll get us saying the same stuff. So the one froggy listened, and he just laid back on his back and gave up the ghost and went to froggy heaven. The other frog, he just kept going. So the guys up at the top are like, bro, seriously, just quit hurting yourself. Seriously, stop. And he was hurting so bad, and he was kind of only on one leg, but he just kept hopping with everything he had. He's like, I'm not going to let it stop me. He went down, but I'm not going to let it stop me. He didn't make it, but I'm not going to let it stop me. And somehow he's hopping, and his front hands get on there, and he pulls himself up, and he comes out of the pit. All the guys are like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe you made it. And the frog says, what do you mean? They said, we were telling you, just give up, just give up. The frog said, I'm deaf. From that far away, I couldn't read your lips. I just saw you going like this, and I thought you were telling me you can make it, you can make it. Don't have to misread the people around you's lips. And don't be the person at the top of the pit telling them to give up. Whatever you do, speak life. Speak sweet water. Tell them, with God, all things are possible. With God, his hand is not shortened, that he cannot accomplish it. He's a God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you tell him a story. I saw him heal somebody one time, and they looked really bad off. Matter of fact, they weren't as bad. They were worse off than you are. So if he did it for them, and I watched him heal it, I believe God can heal you too in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and spray everybody with that sweet water. Go ahead and just believe God over them. Go ahead and just speak prosperity into them. Speak abundance into them. Speak heaven into them. Speak life into them. Speak mercy into them. Tell that heroin addict he's not going to be bound forever. He's coming out, and he's going to live long, and he's going to live strong. You tell that single mama she's not going to be single forever. God's sending her a man who's going to be with her. He's going to love her. You tell that banker, you remember my name, because I'm going to be in here. You're going to want to give me money. I'm going to be so successful, you're going to be taking me out to lunch trying to give me money. You tell that neighborhood, I don't have this money at the moment, but I'm coming back for your house. I'm going to be living in you, and I'm going to have the best car in the neighborhood. You tell that doctor, you're telling me I'm going to make it, and I'm going to tell you I'm going to make you eat those words. Because we serve a God of the impossible. Somebody give him a praise. Woo! Woo! They're wiping off the TV. I'm ruining electronics. Woo! Go ahead and join me. Go ahead and stand up for just a moment. I want to pray over you. Anybody who's got some bitter water that they want redeemed, rectified, and taken out of their life, you go ahead and lift your hands right now with me, whether you're on television, in this room, or on live stream. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you right now. We're crying out to the Lord. God, forgive us. We didn't know what we were doing. We were fearful. We were angry. We were hurt. We were confused. We were uninformed. And we are sorry, Lord. Right now, we control that. We turn around, and on purpose, we go another direction. And we say, we're going to speak sweet words. We're going to speak words of life. We're going to speak words of power. And we are going to speak the word of God over ourselves, over our family, over our friends, and even over our enemies, Lord. We don't have to get vengeance. God, you've got our back. We trust you with it now. We trust you with the legal affairs, and we trust you with the job. We trust you with the finances, and we trust you with the wedding. We trust you with the gout in our feet, Lord Jesus. We won't confess gout and not walking. We'll say, I'm going to be satisfied by the words of my mouth. And matter of fact, I'm going to walk long, and I'm going to walk strong all the days in my life. I'm confessing there will be no walkers, there will be no wheelchairs, and there will be no nursing homes in my future. I'm going to live all the days of my life walking around myself, not needing any diapers, seeing clearly, hearing great, and being full of spunk and sass by the Spirit of God. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to leave an inheritance, not just to my children. I'm going to have enough to leave to my children's children. I declare in the name of Jesus, I leave a physical inheritance, a financial inheritance, a spiritual inheritance, a legacy. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise. Is that all right for today? Woo! I love y'all so much.
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life, and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.